from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
T-minus 4 hours. I got to be honest. That's Joel Sherman. I don't know a ton about him other than seeing him from time to time on MLB Network, and he writes for the New York Post, evidently. That's one of the best clips we've heard in the last 2 months on what the Pirates should do at the trade deadline from someone that's not from here. I loved that. Owe it to their fans. Try harder. Stop kicking the can down the road. No one would want to play these three pitchers. Actually go for it. Stop dilly-dallying. Stop vacillating over it. Stop telling us next year, the year after that. That was very well done, Chris, as we are 4 hours away from the trade deadline. I sit here a cynic. I don't usually like to play the role on the show of guy who is the skeptic, but that's where I'm at today. I do not anticipate anything that is going to really give me hope and give me confidence that the Pirates can make up the very small gap between them and the teams that occupy the wild card spots and give us a chance to see Skeens, Keller, Jones, etc. in the postseason.
Do you want me to be the optimist then? Because that ain't happening.
Donnie's here too.
The skeptic? Nothing that they've said or done. Actions speak louder than words, but none of their words have made me feel particularly good, and their lack of action so far has made me really in your corner as being cynical.
They've Walker, acquired... Beeks, and York is what we have so far, Chris.
Yeah. It sounds like a law firm. And let's see. Walker got designated for assignment. They gave away some DSL guy to the Mets for him. Beeks, they gave away a double-A pitcher. And York, they gave away Quinn Priester, who is probably expendable. Of those three guys, I guess you feel like York maybe eventually could help the team this year, but they sent him to Indy. They don't. What Joel Sherman said there that I think resonated the most with me is stop kicking the can down the road. Stop telling your fans next year. Like, for whatever fans you have left, and we know that there is still an ardent base of fans that wants to believe in this town because they can sell out games. You know, they get the Phillies in here and there's some Philly fans. It's an electric factory. It's a great environment. Like, do something. For your team, for these people, do something other than what it appears they are going to do, which is, if anything, maybe acquire one marginal bat, maybe two, guys that barely constitute upgrades from one of the worst offenses top to bottom in the major leagues, then throw your hands up and say what, and I'm paraphrasing some of what Derek Shelton said, hey, sometimes it just doesn't work out, takes two to tango. Like, does the G... I watched last night's game, and I thought, this team is obviously short on positional talent. But what they do have in a weird way, I think, is guts. Like, you're down 2-0, your best pitcher because of a bad hop or just a misplay by Hayes. They kept saying bad hop on the broadcast. I thought he should have had the ball. You're down 2-0 to a team that knows how to win, that's been on a major roll. The fact that they actually tied the game up and then won the game, and then Bednar white-knuckles his way to a save, that's a gutty effort. Does Ben Cherington have any guts as a GM, I would wonder, to make a move that makes him uncomfortable to make this team better? My argument right now, or my answer to that, would be no. The most pertinent thing I have heard that has rung the truest to me about this team in the last 24 hours is Noah Hyles telling us that they haven't really done anything because his understanding from people he's talked to is it's got to be the perfect trade for Ben Cherington. Nothing in life is perfect. You don't approach a job situation. A relationship isn't always perfect. You have to sometimes deal with being vaguely uncomfortable that you didn't get the perfect deal out of something, that the situation is not fully ideal. Is Ben Cherington going to show any of the gumption and guts that his team has routinely showed despite being outmanned most games? Is he? Or are we going to sit here tomorrow mainly because the deadline will hit right as we go off the air and go, I don't know how we thought we got suckered into this again, but we did, that they might do something. They didn't.
We're not getting suckered into it.
No, but you know what I mean. Writ large, you and I are cynical about this, but like the idea that we even discussed it for so many days leading up, I'm going to feel so stupid that I even paid lip service to the idea that they could go after Jazz Chisholm or they could go after any of these other available players. Yandy Diaz right now, Brent Rooker. It'll all feel so stupid.
Well, those things all feel to me like it's boy who cried wolf. I don't buy any of it right now. It's even clear in the way it's being reported. Yandy Diaz, John Heyman says, Pirates outside chance. There are teams ahead of them, Yankees, Astros, you would think, based on their history, that would be willing to give up more to get him. There's more urgency in those places. There's more of a willingness to go after it this year. Brian De La Cruz in the last half hour. They're interested, but there's a gap in talks. You're kind of running out of time to close a gap. This is not the week before the trade deadline. It's hours away from it. So I'm of the opinion that they are going to find the warts. They're going to be the guy that isn't married in his 40s or 50s because every girl he dated, he found something about her that he didn't like. And that's what I think we're going to get here. Diaz, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm stunned that it's even to the point where they get their names included on him because he doesn't strike me as someone that Ben Cherington would like or want. He turns 33 years old next month. He's owed $10 million next year. That would make him the third highest paid Pirate behind Brian Reynolds and Mitch Keller. Then there's the matter of where does he play? I mean, honestly, when you look at his numbers this year, he's not a better defensive first baseman than Tellez. And frankly, he's not a better hitter than Tellez right now. Mm-hmm. And against righties, he's not a better hitter than McCutchen. So most of your games are against right-handed pitching. If they're quote-unquote interested in him, does that mean they're going to acquire him to play third base and they're going to keep Brian Hayes down?
Nope, they wouldn't do that.
So I just have a hard time believing that they're even interested in him at all.
What's his utility to them based on what you just said? If all of those things we assume to be true, then he has very little utility to them.
It's 250, 673 OPS against right-handed pitching. That's not better than McCutchen or Tellez. And he's expensive by the Pirate standards next year.
I don't think he would be particularly appealing to Bob Nutting on that end of it.
So if you tell him you're a first baseman or a DH, then do you go to Andrew McCutchen and say, you've only played 8 games in right field last year and 5 games this year. We're going to move you out there at 37 years old and ask you to play the position basically every day to make room for Wandy Diaz, who hits 250 against right-handed
Yandy
Diaz. I have a hard time believing that. De La Cruz, I think they'd like because he's younger and he's cheaper and he hits home runs, but there's a gap in talks that gets back to prospects.
How good of a player even is he? He hits home runs, but he's like a pretty mediocre offensive player.
You know what,
though?
Mediocre looks and sounds good right now, Chris.
He's got almost 40 extra base hits. I get it. He's going to hit the ball over the fence and hit the ball off the wall. I get it.
I mean, a lot of these guys look good to me because of the lineup. They had a perfect game going in Houston against them last night by a bullpen game.
I thought it was going to happen, by the way.
For almost two-thirds of the game before Grandal homered.
Yeah, of all people, Yasmani Grandal, it's a no-doubter. I don't know.
So I just gave you all the reasons why they might not view Diaz as a perfect player. And then there's the problem of the guys that Tampa Bay allegedly wants included in the trade. Ashcraft, Brannigan, Riley, these are guys.
Well, that's what you put that out there. Did you see what I responded to you with? The old tweet about love this trade for the Rays. Who'd they give up and who'd they get? Because they always win trades. I wouldn't trade him for those guys. Because it seems like an overpay for a guy that you're... Well, I wouldn't trade Yandy Diaz, obviously, for those guys. Because it seems like that it's an overpay for a player you can't even find a spot for. You and I are the exact same right now on this front. We both expect little to nothing to happen. And it just, there are people out there who have said for weeks, why is anybody getting geared up to think they'll do something? They never do, even though we've said that isn't true. This team won't get augmented. This team won't get helped. And those people, I think, are going to be proven more or less correct, Pony. And it is a depressing thing to admit on the air. Because you know why? Because they're different from other Pirates teams that only had minor additions made to them. They have Paul Skeens.
Yep.
That makes this a different equation than it otherwise would be.
Donnie,
the only person who doesn't seem to understand that is Ben Charrington.
Donnie, do you agree with what Sherman said, that they need to try harder for the fans and that they need to stop kicking the can down the road? Do you feel like they're going to do that in the next four hours?
I mean, they should try harder for themselves. Not just the fans. They should try harder for themselves. They should actually realize, despite what Nightingale said yesterday, the Pirates are in no man's land. That made little to no sense to me.
He was just happy to finish the interview, let's be honest.
I mean, he didn't even know what team was being discussed when he came on air.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah, sounds good.
They are in this thing. They are very much in this thing. They should know that. They are not in no man's land. They should also know what they have on their pitching staff could actually make some noise if they do get to October. If you're not going to go for it now, like, when are you going to actually go for it?
Here's another thing.
Do a favor to yourself, to your team.
Do you think they will? I mean, we got McHenry on in the last hour talking about how they've got Aleka Williams and Hunter Stratton as reinforcements.
Well,
you think they will?
Do I think they will?
Yes. Are you as cynical as Chris and I?
I think they'll get like a middle of the road outfielder.
Kevin Pillar.
I don't count him as middle of the road. I know his OPS is high.
He's dirt road. Taylor Ward.
Yeah, I mean, probably. Hey, they're
one of three teams in on Taylor Ward. Do you want to bet one of the other two teams, if that's actually true, gets Taylor Ward? I do. You have Paul Skeens for how many years, Pony? For sure. Probably four. Hopefully five
full
years.
Under team control for more,
But you know what I mean.
Before his contract.
So if you believe your window exists for as long as Paul Skeens is here and healthy, best case scenario, you have 6 years. Realistic scenario, you have 5 years. So you're telling me you're going to punt? You have 20% of the time that you think you will be a viable contender. You're going to basically punt one of those deadlines?
By the way, Ward has a 169 batting average in July.
No, he sucks. Remember, we heard. He basically got like the jitters because he got hit in the face, which is a good reason.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.